I'm a chicken fried. A cold beer on a Friday night. A pair of jeans that fit just right. And the radio.
Good morning. It's Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News and it's News Radio 92.3. Jimmy Petronas is on the line with us, and we have a lot of news to get to. Jimmy, welcome back to Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning. So the Senate.
Cold.
I'm sorry, what?
It's going to get cold.
Yeah. Oh, no. I know. We got farmers up in Jay that are worried about that with their peanuts and all this. I mean, we've got lots of stuff to get to with that because the weather is actually a factor. But the shutdown is the big news. Now, you just clarify, because we've had some confusion even here in the studio. The Senate voted to advance past cloture. They haven't actually voted on any of the real measures yet, right? Or am I wrong?
No. So essentially, they voted to end debate.
Right. Okay.
So if you have, then they have to get a 60 votes. So basically, if they can get 7 Democrats to come and say, hey, I'm done talking about this,
right,
then that basically says, all right, those same have said, all right, that means if I'm done talking, I'm ready to vote and move forward. So there's been lots of briefs have been taking place between those 7 that have come forward that have said, let's go and do this. Like one of them's Tim Kaine. Tim Kaine from Virginia. You can imagine with as many federal employees he has in Virginia, especially outside the Beltway, how he has just been getting lit up by his constituents. So it's easy for the Tim Kaines of the world to come across over and get the thing open.
So over the course of the next several days, the Senate's going to actually vote. Then the House is going to take a look at the proposal and, you know, do whatever they do. And then, of course, if you guys pass it, then the president has to sign it. The key elements here are involving the agriculture bill, which would include SNAP, and I'm also assuming the payments to the farmers. Is that right?
So, well, the ag bill, I don't know if it has that specific language in it. I would think it does just simply because it's an ag appropriations bill.
Right. The Farm Service Agency funding is, we're just talking to our friend Ryan Jenkins on Friday about this, that, you know, they're now a month in and still don't have money from that, which means that they're losing money every month because they can't pay off the mortgage, basically, that they've got the loans
right
on it. So, you know, this is costing them interest every month that they don't get that, every day that they don't get that money. So it's painful for them. SNAP is going to be funded, military pay, military construction pay. What about the FAA and the traffic controllers? Is that also part of this?
Yeah, so, I mean, you get to think, the budget that we were operating on under the government under September 30th is now going to be turned back on, and we're going to operate with that exact same budget till January the
30th. Got it, okay.
So all those dollars, the air traffic control, all those guys, they weren't looking for new money. Now, we did give them new money for construction and renovation of the air traffic control system. But basically, we're reauthorizing the budget to continue operating as it did pre-September 30th. And that will go till January. And then we've added the 3 new appropriations bills on top of it, which are, you know, in those particular subject area silos, you know, Capitol Police, Safety Security, Ag, includes SNAP benefits, MILCON, and Agriculture, which, you know, those are the ones that the House already pushed out. Those are the ones that typically are less controversial and have more bipartisan support.
And those are long-term deals, right? What, 3 years or something? Is that right?
I believe so. You know, each one of those bills is, as you have those authorization bills, they could be structured a different, like they want to do a surface authorization bill next year. That means roads and bridges. They haven't done one of those in years. So this is where they're getting back and revisit it, and then it'll be determined through the appropriation process how long it'll be for.
Gotcha. And the will in the House as far as Speaker and your caucus, I know you talked with WAR about this last night, but the will of the House is that what the Senate passes, you guys are willing to pass, and then they're going to talk about health care, and I'm assuming you guys are probably not going to talk about health care, but that's on you, not on them, right?
Yeah, I mean, they've made a commitment to talk about health care, but, you know, I really like the Senator Scott proposal. That's Rick Scott, not Tim Scott. Rick Scott says, fine, let's take the subsidy and let's give it to our beneficiaries in the form of a health savings account. So it's cash into a HSA account, and they spend it how they see fit, as opposed to making a direct line item subsidy directly to the health insurance companies. And you know, and then the consumer gets to have a little bit of a say in how they're going to spend their health care dollars, their money in the first place. So,
but wouldn't most of them have to turn around and spend it on the marketplace anyway? I mean, if they're paying for health insurance and the marketplace is too expensive, as it will be if they don't have a subsidy or the expanded subsidy, it seems like it all goes to the same place in the end. What am I missing something?
Yeah, but now what's going to happen is that consumer is going to have a little more buying power at the point of purchase. So they may shop it around as opposed to the subsidy already going to the insurance company saying, hey, these are the prices we're going to sell them to you for. Now the insurance company saying, so how can I get my price more attractive to be able to lure more of those eligible beneficiaries with the account and the subsidy to come do business with me?
Oh, okay. Well, so, I mean, for somebody like me then, if I'm not on the marketplace, Perfect. Would I get an HSA contribution? Because I buy from my employer, not from the marketplace.
Yeah, so, I don't, again, this is new territory for me. The subsidy would be provided back, so, that eligible population for those subsidies would be the eligible party. Now,
okay, so it's going to be income limited if you would have gotten the subsidy under Obamacare then.
Correct.
Okay.
It's definitely there's an income limit. Now I'm remembering now.
Okay, that makes sense.
There's an income limit and an age limit, how it breaks up. Yep.
Okay. All right. So no use to me, but still, I see where you're coming from. I'm not sure how much I think it matters, but, I'd rather have it in personal hands rather than, it's paid directly to the insurance companies. That makes sense to me. I don't understand this jobs thing. I don't. I don't understand paying people who were furloughed and didn't work. I don't understand mandatory rehiring of people who got fired. I don't get it. I get paying people who worked, air traffic controllers, military, money goes for jobs. That's fine. But I don't, if you fire people, you fired people. Why are we obligated to take them back and pay them for all the work they didn't do?
I think that's part of one of the questions Trump asked out loud, and everybody went aghast. This was back, I think, during 2019, mm-hmm. where they had passed a guaranteed compensation for furloughed workers. I think part of the thought process is they were furloughed under no fault of their own. Why are they being punished? Because of an impasse in Congress. But I think this shutdown is definitely going to bring a lot of things to light, including what elements of government service did anybody notice weren't even there for their use. So I hope we take this painful exercise and make a more efficient government after the fact. Unfortunately, we just got one vote majority in the House, and we still have the cloture rule of in the Senate. So yeah. It's just filibuster rule in the Senate. It's just tough, and that's why I get where the president was saying, just blow up the filibuster. Let's go fix some things.
It's an interesting note too, though, that even though it might make sense to Republicans to allow the cuts or to allow the furloughs to not get paid, in order to get the Democrats 60 on board, you probably have to give on that. But also, this is part of the general environment around having a government job, is they took the job knowing that they were protected from not harm during a furlough and all that kind of stuff. So. I want to see a better structure going forward. I mean, I hate to see the news talk about people getting furloughed and people getting fired, and then all of a sudden it's like it never happened. It's like wave your magic wand and we erase the past. That just seems weird to me. Anything else in this?
No, you're good.
Before we move on, anything else in this deal that you want people to know about? Because I think it's been covered quite a bit, but I want to make sure. You're right there on the front line talking to folks. What else do we need to know?
Yeah, Well, the people asking, so when do we see something happening? I think best case scenario, we will be back voting on Wednesday. The speaker has got a call with us at 10:30 this morning. We'll get our marching orders about where we need to be when, and then we will we'll get up to D.C. There's two different procedures. If we have a bunch of Democratic support in the House of Representatives, this thing could be a one and done, voted out on Wednesday. If the Democrats dig in and decide not to support it, then it'll be more prolonged. But I think the hope is to bring this thing in for a landing before the November 15th pay cycle is eclipsed.
Okay, so paychecks should go on Saturday, as long as nobody holds it up in the meantime.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. And like I said, the appropriations bills that we're seeing coming back from the Senate are already negotiated bills, so there shouldn't be any controversy with those appropriations bills, the ag bill, the military spending bill, and the security bill.
Gotcha. Okay, very good. I wanted to ask you this thing that President Trump said, yesterday, the day before, I forget, when he talks about giving out a $2,000 tariff dividend to anybody who doesn't earn too much money. He doesn't specify. If you do the math on that, we're talking about, and we don't know exactly who'd be eligible, but, you know, if there's 330 million people in the country, let's say, I don't know, it's 250 million. I don't know. But you run the math on that, and you're talking about $500 billion total, $500 billion. Now, it's great that we have all this money from tariffs. Don't get me wrong. And that's been paid largely by Americans, of course. Look, I want $2,000 as much as anybody does, but I want to pay down the debt. You know, you got $500 billion. Pay down the debt. Am I wrong?
I'm not sitting down with the president at that table. But if I'm looking at him and he has just extracted these dollars globally, brought them into the United States coffers, I think this is where his rationale is. If I'm going to be challenged in the courts and these dollars are going to be considered as gotten in a way that were outside of my bounds of powers,
right,
I think what the president said, okay, you know what, fine. You want to play it that way and you want to challenge me in court, I'm just going to send them to the American public before there's a court ruling. And then, you know what, good luck going and extracting those dollars back from the American public. Then at least, you know what, the argument is at least the citizens of the United States get to spend the money as opposed to the federal government. You know, I'd love to pay down the debt too. It's hard to get these son of a guns in D.C. to want to get focused on doing. They love spending money. So I think the part of the solution the president's got is, all right, well, you know what? If you're not going to be disciplined about paying down the debt with it, then let's just go and just give it to the American public and we'll give a shot in the arm to the economy and help them with their inflation transition.
Well, by the way, I completely agree with you. This seems to me to be a response to the Supreme Court clearly indicating that they are going to strike down the justification. You know, they're going to say that these tariffs are not within the president's purview under the authority claimed under IEPA. I think that's right. And that's what I thought, too. He's just trying to spend the money before the court tells him to take it back, and then the court can be the bad guys to try to grab it back from the American pockets. So,
1,000%.
Somebody who thinks that he doesn't have IEPA authority doesn't love that way of doing business, but I do interpret it the same way that you interpret it. We had a vote in New York City, and I wanted to give you a chance to talk about it. You know, they elected Mamdani. They're going to get free everything if he can pull it off. What do you think this means, though? Is this just outside the establishment? Was it terrible choices with Cuomo as the alternative and Sliwa? Or is this a broader movement? I mean, is this emboldened the socialist wing of the Democrat Party?
No, I'd say what gets me so disgusted about all this, Andrew, is, I mean, the Democrats took these elections, and let's take our special election we have for Congressional District 1. There wasn't a lot of people super fired up about it because they're outside of an election season.
Right.
Elections have seasons. So what the Democrats did is, okay, let's take the government shutdown, which is creating a bunch of blood in the water and a bunch of national news, and let's apply it on top of the elections happen that are non-national cycle elections. So, you know, this is very selfish. This was a way to continue to rally their base, to put blood in the water, to get Democrats fired up about something and to come and show up. At the same time, they raised an enormous amount of money. Everything they did was selfishly motivated to control the agenda, and they kept the American public, especially our military, hostage for, you know, 50 days. It's just disgusting.
You know, the last thing I wanted to ask you about, it was kind of a, I don't know, it was just a silly topic. You and I were talking about this last week, but the speeding in Gulf Breeze thing, you know, you had told me that you were written a ticket for 6 over, and I had thought you meant on 98, which would have been 41 and a 35. Then Channel 3 goes and talks to Gulf Breeze police, and they say, well, no, he was doing 68 on the bridge. It was so he was written for 6 over, which would have been 51 and a 45. And you and I talked a lot about cops hiding, being in plain sight and all of this kind of stuff. And I think in principle, you and I very much agree about that. But, you know, the chief says he was in plain view. He was in the left-hand lane. It was going over the bridge. And more importantly, he wrote it down from a 68 to a 51. And if that was the case, I felt like the conversation you and I had about it wasn't it troubled me because I felt like you were describing it one way and then the facts were a little bit different. But I wanted to give you a chance to reply because obviously you've seen this has been a big local story. It's not the most important thing in the world, but we did talk about it. So comments, response?
Well, look. I was speeding. I paid my ticket. I did my driving school. My criticism was is where it's been ever since I've been in public office is be in plain view. This in the state of Georgia, a law enforcement officer has to be within clear line of sight of over 500 feet in order to write a ticket for traffic citation. I love that. And that is not the case with how it's been operating in Gulf Breeze. This particular officer was over the crest of the bridge. If you're traveling westbound on Highway 98, there is a hump. It allows for navigational traffic to go underneath with higher and higher elevation.
Oh, you were going towards Pensacola? Wait, you were going towards Pensacola?
I was going towards Pensacola. Yeah, correct. Going towards Pensacola. So I wasn't even technically in Santa Rosa County. I was in Escambia County. But the law permits, I don't think it's anywhere else in the whole entire state, but the law permits Gulf Breeze to ride outside of its jurisdictional boundaries on the Escambia County 3 mile bridge. So, you know, my criticism is if you're going to write tickets, be out in public. You have a greater effect over the overall respect of driving on a public roadway. And this was not the case. He was over the top of the hump. He was in the emergency lane, which I don't know why he needs to be parked in the emergency lane unless his car was broke down, but he was parked in the emergency lane out there shooting tickets. Go be at the top of the hump where everybody sees you if you want to park in the emergency lane with your functionally operating vehicle. So, I mean, look, I write tickets. If somebody's going to be blazing enough to speed right in front of you in broad daylight, write them all day long. I'm agreeable with that. But, you know, I think there's a much better good when you're visible, just like the laws are in Georgia, in order to keep everybody respecting law. Look, when I was a kid, you never ran a red light in Gulf Breeze, and you never sped through Gulf Breeze because of the challenges. You'd get your attention, mate.
Right.
Okay, real quick light. Okay? So, you know, was I speeding across the bridge? Sure. You know, it happens. You know, a lot of people do it. But, you know, I was doing it to the point where they needed to write me a citation. And you know what? It was my fault. I wrote the ticket. I have no problem doing that. But I do have the right to be able to have an opinion to say, go be visible. You know what? And I don't think there's probably anybody else that probably really hates that idea of them being more visible.
No, I appreciate that. You know, that actually clarifies because I had thought you were headed towards Gulf Breeze, which is why the cop being on the north side of the hump makes a difference in our conversation from last week about visibility and the Georgia law and everything else. So now I appreciate you clarifying that, and thank you for answering. I definitely appreciate that. All right, next Monday we'll talk to you again, and if there's anything breaking between now and then, obviously we'll keep in touch with you about the government shutdown. Jimmy Petronas, our congressman for Northwest Florida District 1, thanks for the time, sir. Talk to you soon.
See you, buddy. Take care.